Before I, I start, I want to apologize that any sensible person will be sleeping now, including myself. If everybody stays awake, I'll be happy. You don't have to like what I say or anything. Just try to say it. And if I stay awake, I'll be even happier. The title that I've given is a little bit of a strange title. It's Sri Ramakrishna, avatar or ideal? Strange in the sense that why not both? Why one or the other? But it's really just meant to raise the topic of conversation because this whole talk this morning is based on a lecture in a book, a recorded lecture of Swami Bhudeshanandaji Maharaj. Yeah, and I'm going to read some of it. And then we'll have some discussion and everything. But I was so impressed with this lecture. I've spoken about Swami Bhuteshanandji Maharaj before, that he was unique in many, many ways. First of all, he was a tremendous scholar. If you just saw him and met him, you'd think, oh, what a sweet Swami he is. But a tremendous scholar, both of Vedanta and also Bhagavata. So but so unassuming. And then the other thing, very sweet nature, loving nature. So tremendously sweet and loving. And the third thing is that he had a certain clarity of understanding and a certain fresh way of looking at things. If you ask us about an avatar, who was the avatar? We'll quote yada, yada, hi dharmasya. We'll give some very standard things. But he really examined things. We speak very glibly about the avatar as if we know who the avatar is, what it means. Do we really know what it means? That if somebody says, oh, do you think he was an avatar? First of all, do we know what it means? So he examines all of these things. So and it raises so many nice issues that I thought that I would go through that a little bit. It's from a lecture that he gave in Sargachi. So that means that it's in Bengali. And it means that I'm going to struggle by trying to give an English translation. And every once in a while, yesterday, we heard some South Indian Bengali, Swami Brahmarupanandaji. So today you'll hear some West Philadelphia Bengali. So another apology in advance. This title of this, what was it? Jivaner Adosho Sri Ramakrishna. So Sri Ramakrishna as the ideal of our life. And we'll get to it. Okay, so let me just start with, I'll read a little bit in the Bengali and then translate most of it because some of it is just so fascinating. First he says, Sri Ramakrishna avatar kina e amader alocho bishoy noi. Okay, so what he's saying is that who are we to even think that we're able to discuss this sensibly, God coming down as a human being. Do we have this adhikari? Do we have this qualification even to think that we can even discuss this sensibly? How much do we know about this whole idea? God comes down as a human being. We say, okay, that's a nice idea. But really, are we capable with this small container of the mind trying to pour the five spheres of milk in it? So it starts out like that, very interesting. And then he says, during Sri Ramakrishna's time, this real discussion took place. That was when the Bhairavi Brahmani, the Chi, got all of the big pundits together and everything. And he says that Sri Ramakrishna himself is Nitantu Udashin Bhavi. He sat there indifferent, listening to all these big pundits say this and that, and all about him, but he's listening as if they're talking about somebody else. Says for every once in a while, he would show a little bit of curiosity, and sometimes he would just look completely, didn't care, completely with this udasin bhav. Then, so the Brahmani, she got everybody together, all these big pundits, they had this big assembly there to discuss this, to decide. Because she was convinced that he was an avatar. She knew all of the scriptures. She was a very brilliant woman who curiously enough, was an expert both in these tantric practices and in the Chaitanya Bhagavata tradition. So the literature of that tradition speaks very much about the signs of the avatar and the signs of Mahabhava and Premia and all of that. So she, by showing that the same signs in him were seen in Chaitanya Deva and then earlier in Radha that way, she tried to prove it to all of them. And so Thakur was present at that time. And tini jano akta majar koto hoche e bhavi shuncha, as if it's fun, just sitting there and listening. He didn't take it very seriously. We would think, wow, they're talking about me as an avatar. But he didn't care. And every once in a while he would say, Sheki go. Really? You're saying all that about me? So just like a child, he was listening. And so didn't take anything personally, as if they're talking about somebody else. And all of them agreed that, yes, Thakur is an avatar. Now, I think, who was it? Vaishnav Charan, who came late. And they asked him about it, and he said, oh, they only said that much. Yeah, that why do you say he's an avatar? He's the source of all avatars. He's the avatarin. You know, in the Bhagavata, they make a distinction. You know, they list all of the avatars, and first they say there are 10, then they say that there are 24, then they say an infinite number of avatars. See, there are all different ideas about this avatar thing. And then it says, Krishna is tu Bhagavan Swayam. So Krishna isn't an avatar because they think that's too small. The really fanatical devotees, they'll say that he's Narayana himself. He's the source of all of the other avatars. So there's Vaishnav Charan, I think it was him. Anyhow, the one who came late, he felt that Sri Ramakrishna really was even a higher level than just all of these other avatars. So then it says, much later, all of these modern educated, English educated devotees starting to come. They weren't such high level pundits or anything, but they were well respected people. And they started preaching. They started proclaiming Thakur as an avatar. So you know who it means. It means mostly this Ram and Girish and all of them. And Thakur would get annoyed. Birokto, he says. Thakur, tati birokto bodh kareche. So he's thinking, what are they doing? He appreciated if somebody understood his spiritual stature. That was one thing. But for people to just go telling everybody here and there in the marketplace like that, that annoyed him. So one day he said, Keo doctor, keo theater kore, or bully avatar. One is a doctor, the other plays in the theater, and they're saying avatar. Koto age boro boro punditora, avatar bully. How many big pundits so long ago said that? And who are these people to say this? What do they understand? He says, what do they understand of the avatar to proclaim me as an avatar? Now, then Swami Pudeshananda says that just as that was applicable then, is even more so today. What do we understand of all of that? Is that when we, with a very strong voice, we proclaim Thakur as an avatar, then what if we understood that we do this? What do we really, what do we understand of the meaning of avatar? Not that we understand avatar and we don't think that Thakur was. His point is that we don't understand even this concept or the reality of it. It's such a difficult thing. He'll explain the very nice examples that he'll give. Thakur himself used to say that he who is the controller of this entire universe, that for him to come down in human form as a small child like that, then ekota ki kalpana kore jai, can we even imagine that? Can we talk very glibly? Yes, God comes down in human form. How do we picture it? How do we imagine it? Ke vishash korbe, who will believe that even, have faith in that? Then he gives you the example of Devaki. There was, even she didn't understand that in her own womb that God has been born, that way as the avatar. And there's a hymn, this hymn of Devaki, that she says that one idea is the time of pralaya. The time of pralaya, one after one, everything in this universe gets kind of folded in. And where does it go during this time of pralaya? Anybody know? What happens to this whole universe, the time of pralaya? Goes to seed form. Narayana takes it and places in a tiny pore in his body. Yeah, yeah. So I never heard this before. But she bishoke tar bapti bajaye reke nijer ekti rom kuper bhito reke tini jano prakash kochen. It means that. So she said that this vast universe, the God who was so vast that the entire universe gets into one little pore in his body, that divine reality entered into my stomach, into my womb, and is born. So he says, even she, how could she possibly believe that he came in the form of this small child that way? So then he makes a very great statement. He says, when we think about it this way, then we have to ask ourselves, is there anything more ludicrous than this? That we, with our limited understanding, that we try to say who is an avatar, what does it really mean? Then Sri Ramakrishna, in his very beautiful, poetic way of explaining things, he gives this example. He says, there's a tree, and this tree, it looks like a tree. It has leaves and branches and everything. Everything is like a tree, but nobody could recognize this tree. He says it's doesn't look like a mango tree, a jackfruit tree, any of that. They call it Ochingach. Ochin, yeah. So it means something like the question mark tree. The tree that nobody recognizes. But he says, we know that it's a tree, but we have nothing to measure it against. We can't decide exactly what it is. So he says, Kaje, tar ara nam na pe bole ochingach. So we have no other, we can't really give it a name, we can't really explain it, anything like that. So let me see. Then he goes on about how when the avatar. Now, one thing that's very interesting, the whole time he's trying to say that there's no way that we can really say that, yes, the avatar is real, the avatar comes, the whole time he believes it. So he'll be talking about when the avatar comes and everything. So he has that faith, which we can also have. But his point is that it's a question of faith. So he says when the avatar comes, takes a human body, then just like a human being, there's birth, there's death, there's old age, there's illness, there's happy, sadness, all of these things, that all of the shortcomings, all of the aparnata, all of the lack that human beings have, the avatar has to accept also. Thakur stressed this point very much. You know, he used to say that even Rama wept for Sita. You take a human birth, then you have to, you know, suffer along with it. Even when Brahma has to take this human cage, then he'll also weep like a human being. So that is using the example of Rama. So then he goes on to say that we have no mapkartye, we have no yardstick which we can use to measure this avatar, that is amra avatar ke bujhte pare, we can understand who this avatar is, what it really is, shudu e tububuchi. But this little much we can say, tini amaderi moto, he seems to be like us. That's half of it. The other half is, amader moto kintu abar amader teki tor oshes potokko. He may be like us, but absolutely different in other ways. Completely different. Just like a tiny little wave and a huge tsunami. They're both waves, right? But how different they are. So, so this little bit we're able to understand. Then he talks about Swamiji. See, we, and sometimes, we have a little pressure as devotees who wants to say, I have any doubts. We don't want to say that. We'll think, what will other people think of us? So he gives the example of Swamiji, how it took a long time. Swamiji didn't like this idea of avatar. It wasn't part of the Brahmo Samaj thinking that way. And Swamiji was very rational. He was a Vedantin. So Swamiji, how do you say there's anything different from the avatar than anybody else? Because the Lord alone dwells within all beings that way. So Swamiji had his doubts. Thakur talks about that. And then he says that... He refers to a conversation that Swamiji had with Dr. Sharkar. And at that point, this is the end of Thakur's life. This is the time when Swamiji is starting to come around a little bit. Now, Swami Bhuteshananda, he says that he is a little bit of a compromise. So he's explaining to Dr. Sharkar that we don't call him God. And then he uses this term, Dev Manob Boli. Yeah, God-man, or God-like, I think in the English they say a God-like man, is the English translation they get. So then Swami Bhuteshananda says, yeah, a little bit of compromise here. He says, Swamiji tokon shampurno bhave Sri Ramakrishna ke avatar boli shikho. So even then, he didn't fully accept Sri Ramakrishna as an avatar. And we know the story, that at the very end of Thakur's life, Swamiji's sitting nearby, and Swamiji thought, in the midst of all of this suffering, if he declares himself an avatar, then alone will I believe it. So then Thakur, he said, my Naren, even now you have doubts. Because he knew what he was thinking. So then he made his famous statement, of course. He was Rama, he was Krishna. It is now in his body, Sri Ramakrishna, but not in a Vedantic sense. Because Thakur would also say, I see Rama dwells within all men, Sita within all, but not in that same sense, that in a special sense as the avatar, he was trying to explain it to Swamiji. Now, of course, Swamiji not only accepted it later, but Varishta avatar, best of all avatars. So then he says, we also do this apush, compromise. Apush kore bolbo, acha. Ini niji jokon bolchen, tokon meni nite hobe. Since he himself said it, we should accept it. It's very beautiful the way he explains all of this. And then he goes on again that even the mother of Sri Krishna, Devaki, that she didn't accept it. And then, but again, this idea that when we try to understand, we try to encircle and enclose the avatar, that we're unable to do it. He gives another nice example that Mother Yashoda, at one time, this Gopala was very naughty running around. She thought she'll tie a cord around him. So she took something and she tied it around, and it was about an inch too short. So she went and got a longer one. Another, it's still an inch too short. No matter how long it got, it was still too short. Then she realized it's immeasurable that way. Okay, now we'll get to what is the crux of the matter here. And I'll read this part in Bengali. Avatar ke bujhi na bote kintu taake jibane prishtha korte jodi cheshta na kori tauli tan avatar hoy asha jebato hoy jai. So this is the main thing that, and you see the contradiction here. He's saying that the reason for the avatar taking birth will be in vain. So he's accepting the fact of the avatar. That's the interesting thing here. The whole time he's saying that, how can we understand it? He's accepting as a fact. He says that unless we mold our lives according to, unless we have that as an ideal, according to the divine incarnation, then our life is in vain, or the coming of the avatar is in vain. The avatar doesn't come so that we can simply, as Swamiji said, the Swami Yogananda, say, oh, how beautiful is your nose, how beautiful are your eyes, and just make offerings. We have to accept the avatar as the ideal. Kaje, buchi or nabuchi, whether we understand it or whether we don't understand it. Take jibinet adorsho rupe prishtito kote amrachesta kochi. We have to try. We have to try as best as we can to let Sri Ramakrishna's life and his teachings represent our spiritual ideal. Ei chesta jodi antarik bhabe kora hoy tale jibiner sarthokota. If we sincerely do this, our lives will be blessed. Now, what if we say he wasn't an avatar? And yet we say he represents my ideal in life. Equally good. I sometimes think that if Thakur was God himself, then what he did is no big deal. If he wasn't an avatar and he did what he did, Baba, how can we imagine anybody who's able to do that? So, and Swamiji himself always said that. It doesn't matter how you accept him. Let people accept him according to their own light. Some will say he's an avatar, some will say he's a God-relay soul, some will say a great yogi, all of that. But the whole point is that we have to do this. Amra jana Sri Ramakrishna ke adosho bali grahan kote chesta kote. Those of us who have accepted him and are trying to accept him as our ideal in life. Anchi kholo, even if we can't do it completely, even if just a tiny bit, we just catch a little bit of that longing for God and everything, even just a little bit. Chishta tokuni shoy tok hobe. If we can establish that in our hearts, if we can, then our lives will be blessed. This is the real reason for the avatar. We actually have different theories about the avatar. Why does the avatar come? We have, of course, in Gita, it's tied in very much with Dharma. We know that Sri Ramakrishna stressed something which is more from the Chaitanya tradition. The avatar comes to teach devotion. Vitaritum avatiranam jnana bhakti prashanti. This is my favorite line from our dhyana mantra that we do. Why did Thakur come? He came to distribute, to sprinkle, to broadcast jnana bhakti prashanti, to give us knowledge, to give us devotion, and give us peace. Not simply shanti, prashanti. This is the highest type of peace. That was the purpose. We can say dharma and all of that. We can say historical needs and the British were there and all of that. We see that generally, say with the Buddha, Christ, all of them, there was also some historical reason for it. But Thakur always stressed this other side. So the main thing is that we have an ideal. We have something to follow. We need some pramana. This is one of the great questions that Arjuna asks. What is the pramana? What is the standard? If we want to know how to behave in this world, we want to know what our goal in life should be, what do we follow? So Sri Krishna says, we have scripture that we can follow, but we have the ideal of these great souls. This is the best for us. And Sri Ramakrishna used to emphasize the fact that in each age, the avatar comes with a message best suited to that age. Not that there's anything less about the avatars, but they always had their historical context that they came within. So Sri Ramakrishna came to give us this spiritual ideal, which is so all-encompassing. People often ask, why did Swamiji say the greatest of all avatars? We have all different types of answers, but one is that he embodied every possible spiritual attitude. He encompassed all different spiritual traditions. He practiced all the different yogas. There was nothing lacking in him. The other avatars, they all had their one speciality. Sri Krishna and Gita, of course, we also have a little blending of the four yogas, but it was never practiced the way Sri Ramakrishna practiced it. And no one ever realized the truth of all these different paths. And no one ever explained anything as clearly as he did. You know, we had so many long discussions today and yesterday about a lot of these very deep philosophical ideas. And just a few of the things, if we read the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, he understood the importance of these types of discussions, and he also understood the point at which we should say enough. You know, with M especially, how many times he would say, Bichar Corona, no more arguments. Now it's time to do something. No more arguments. And how many times he would say, who can understand the ways of God? People ask, why did it happen this way? He would say, who can understand the ways of God? If he couldn't understand, how can we understand? Yeah. And the other thing that appeals to me so much is when Thakur said, Joto Ma Toto Pat, that we take it as meaning all the different religions of the world. I take it as meaning philosophy in general. This are Advaita Vedanta Vishishta Advaita, all of these things, that not a single one of them doesn't have a philosophical flaw. Not a single one of them can claim absolute truth to it, that this is the doctrine, that you'll find all of the truth within this doctrine, and the others have the faults and everything. They all represent spiritual attitudes and spiritual paths that we can follow, and they'll take us to the goal. And it doesn't matter, because what we end up believing in is a question of what appeals to us. These two things are so important that Thakur emphasized over and over again, and I say it so many times, you must be tired, but this Ruchi Veda and Hajong Shakti, these two things, that it has to appeal to us. It may be a Advaita Vedanta that somebody say, yes, I can't argue against it. It's very brilliant. His logic is irrefutable. But there's no sweetness to it. It doesn't appeal to me. So what would Thakur say? Then it's not for you. Swamiji also. He would say, then it's not for you. And what if we like it, but we can't digest it? Then it's also not for us. Yeah. So whenever Thakur would say, Joto Ma Toto Pat, he would say, but the path is not God. Don't confuse the two. Don't confuse the two. This is only a means to the end. The truth is something far beyond any doctrine that we possibly can think of. He said, when the mind comes down from samadhi, I can barely say om. And this is why, what is the nature of Brahman? We'll give long discourses. He would say, you can't express it in words. Impossible. We had that, yeah, like the dumb person. What does it, the fruit taste like? So that same idea. Thakur had a very clear understanding of the importance of vichara, the importance of analyzing all of these things and the limits of it. And when we should simply say, okay, I've done enough. And one of his other writings, Swami Hudeshanandji, he emphasizes this idea that what they call vichara marga, that is a path of analysis. This is the main spiritual discipline for Advaita Vedanta, is not meant to take us to the highest truth. It's meant to get rid of false assumptions that we have, that this false identification and all of that. Truth has to just dawn on its own, and it'll be beyond thinking of the mind that way. So we mentioned earlier the great statement that Sri Ramakrishna made, Chanch tori hoy roilo, nijo nijo jibanka shei chanche dhele gore nei. That Thakur made the mold. And we just have to pour. See, we melt the gold and we pour it in and then it comes out and it takes that shape. So he represents the mold for us. That means his life, his teachings, his realizations, everything. And we have to pour ourselves into that mold. And this is our task as devotees. And of course, everything we say about Sri Ramakrishna, we can say doubly about Holy Mother also. So her mold, of course, will be with this forbearance and this universal love and everything. So it goes equally for both of them that way. Now, I just want to talk a little bit about different ways that we can understand the avatar, because for some people, they have a very natural faith. God is born as a human being, they don't have to think about it. Other people, very rational types of people, who don't grow up in a tradition with avatar, or even don't grow up in a Christian tradition where Jesus is the Son of God, anything like that, it's very difficult. I won't say laughable, but it's just something outside of the range of ordinary understanding. God is born as man. What does that mean? So, even Swamiji questioned this. Many of these young educated men who came to Sri Ramakrishna. So I want to talk a little bit about this what I think is a very beautiful explanation, a different type of explanation, not this Puranic explanation, which isn't really an explanation, but explanation we find in the introduction to Lila Prasanga, Sri Ramakrishna, the Great Master. The Great Master, Swami Sharadananda, he talks about a very early Sankhya idea that in the state of liberation, normally if someone attains liberation, ordinary human being attains liberation, then they become merged in Brahman, we can say. The Vedantic idea of a little Sankhya, they become merged in Brahman. There's no coming out of that. There's a drop of water, it goes into the ocean, and you can't retrieve it if he was one with that. But he says that there are some great souls who become prakriti lina. They get merged in nature. And that means that they've achieved perfection, they've achieved liberation, they have no karma, they don't have to be reborn, but they remain in a state from which they can come down. And the best illustration of this to me is Sri Ramakrishna's vision of Swamiji as one of the Saptarshis, one of the seven sages, right? Because that state of samadhi that Swamiji was in and the state of oneness with Brahman and being merged in Brahman, they're all one and the same, except from that state he could come down. And Sri Ramakrishna taking the form of a little child, wrapping his arms around Swamiji and whispering in his ear and waking him up and says, I'm going down, you have to come down, like that. So that will be something that's possible for someone who is an already perfected human being. So this is one understanding, and we'll see all of these distinctive features of the avatar according to this idea. They're not born out of karma the way that we are. They're born with some special mission. They're born sometimes to accompany the avatar. So Sri Ramakrishna used that expression, Ishvara Koti. Some he called Nitya Siddhas, ever perfect. And some can become Ishvara Kotis or Nitya Siddhas. This is according to Swami Shivananda, that somebody asked him about the Ishvara Koti. He said, why do you ask me that? I'm not one. Thakur didn't mention me as one of the six, but by his grace, I've become one. What does that mean? That means that in the future, whenever he comes, I'll come also that way. So we can understand that there's no kind of miraculous type of coming down from Vaikuntha or something and entering into a human body. These very nice things that we read, kind of allegorical, symbolic things, but we can understand it in terms of a great soul. Just as we have a wave and we have a tsunami, that we have these great souls who refuse their own liberation, final liberation, for the welfare of the world. And these are the souls that we call these prophets and avatars and all of that. And there are, Thakur tells us many different ways that we can recognize these avatars. And one very curious one is that we can recognize them because people don't recognize them. He says very traditionally that during their lifetime, people won't know who they are. Ochin gach. And there was one occasion when, I think it was Latu Maharaj, that Sri Ramakrishna said to Latu, how many devotees do we have? That meant disciples, really, but he didn't like to think that he had disciples. So Latu made a count, he said, I think around 30, something like that. So can you imagine, during his lifetime, a handful of people recognized him. But then now look today at what happens. So he gave the illustration of a small boat that can go right along the bank of the river because it won't make any big disturbance. It doesn't have to go in the middle, along the bank of the river. There'll be a little wake. Some waves will come and they'll wash up on the shore. But a big steamship, it has to go right in the middle of the river, because otherwise it's too loud and too big and everything. And by the time it's out of sight, the wake becomes so much and the waves come that they'll splash on the shore. They may even break off part of the banks, and they may be out of sight already. So like the avatar, that after they're gone, then people say, oh, so that's who it was that I was sitting and talking to and everything. This Ashwini Kumar Datta, the beautiful reminiscence at the end, when he says afterwards, when I left and I realized who I was sitting and talking to, I thought, how could I talk to him that way? Arjuna says to Sri Krishna, I thought you were just my friend. I addressed you just as, yeah, as my buddy and everything. Please forgive me. I didn't realize who you were that way. So this is one thing. Then we see that the spiritual power that they have is something that's just completely off the charts. The spiritual practices that they can do, the spiritual emotions that they can absorb. Thakur used to say that ordinary person, that this bhava, and this, forget about prema mahabhava, impossible for ordinary person. It's like a big elephant going into a straw hut. It'll just destroy it. The body can't withstand it. Even Swamiji, when he went to Amarnath, the emotions were so strong that his heart was enlarged, he had a blood clot in the eye. So can you imagine how, you know, we may think, you know, oh, Thakur says we won't get mahabhava. What would we do with it? It would destroy us. A little taste for us is enough that way. So we find this capacity to experience spiritual emotion, the capacity to do spiritual practice. How Sri Ramakrishna for 12 long years, something that's unbelievable. He says, for 6 years, I barely took any food and slept, left me completely. Every night he's going to the grove there and weeping for Divine Mother and all other spiritual practices that he did. It's unimaginable. The ordinary human being can do that. We can't imagine that. Then the power to transmit spirituality. How Thakur, just by a touch, by a glance, sometimes he would just go like this. Kundalini would rise. Someone would have some spiritual experience. So we see all of these, the different signs that we have that indicate to us that there's something very special about this person. Whether we say avatar, we don't say avatar. If we're honest people, we'll say, what do I know to go around saying, yes, I'll fight anybody who says he's not an avatar. What do we know of avatar? But we know that somebody was born who was like us, but completely different from us. Holy Mother also, Thakur and Holy Mother that way. And that we have an obligation, if we love them, if we take them to be our highest ideal, to do something. And it's not just showing devotion to them, but we have to mold ourselves in that ideal. That means that we have to practice a little bit of renunciation. We have to develop this longing for God. If we ask ourselves, what was the ideal of Sri Ramakrishna? Bhakulata, that's the final word for him. There's this tremendous, such tremendous longing for God that we can't live another moment. It feels that way. But remember what Swami Bhuteshwaranandji said, even if it's a little bit, even if it's just a little bit, we can't expect ourselves to do what he did. It's absolutely impossible. The direct disciples couldn't do it, even though what they did is also far too much for us. But we don't have to. That's the nice thing about it. The standard is much lower for us. We're very fortunate we were born in this Kali Yuga. You know that. Thakur says in the other Yuga, Satya Yuga, you stand on your head for 1,000 years. You want to realize God. Here, all we have to do is maintain truthfulness for 12 years. All we have to do is a little bit of weep for God for 3 days. Very simple things. Of course, they're not so simple. But anyhow, so this, I wanted to leave a little time for questions or discussion, but this is basically what appealed to me. First, the honesty. The honesty here that we can really tell ourselves, yes, I don't have so much such a high estimation of my intelligence that I feel that I can say who was an avatar and who wasn't an avatar. But I see that before our very eyes, two people, Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, who lived not long ago, who lived such lives that we can hardly call them ordinary human beings. They're just completely, even though so similar in so many ways, completely different in so many other ways. And why did they come? They came to give us this mold that we can pour ourselves into. So I'm going to stop here, and we have a little time for questions and discussion, and then we'll let Swamiji close with more questions if you want, or if Maharaj wants to just kind of sum up everything, or something else struck him. So if anybody would like to ask anything. Yeah, Jeff.
I have a whole bunch of questions.
Okay. We have the example of Swamiji himself, who barely mentioned the name of Sri Ramakrishna in this country. And was criticized very much by some of even his brother disciples. Well, you didn't preach the master's name or anything like that. And he understood that it's more important for people to catch the ideal and the teachings and everything. Sri Ramakrishna, really, we can't really express the essence of our Vedantic tradition without bringing him in. But Swamiji said, don't push this idea that he's an avatar on anybody. Let them understand them according to their own light. But even Swami Brahmananda, he said, whenever you're speaking about anything in the Vedanta or something, give illustrations from the life of Sri Ramakrishna. That he had a way of explaining things that are so simple and so clear. And his life was so pure, and his experiences were so authentic. And he did not hesitate to describe as much as could be described. The next generation is the exact opposite. And the Swamis after that. Now, the present-day Swamis, you practically have to break their arm to get them to tell of any spiritual experience. But he knew that it was for the benefit of all mankind, humankind. So it's invaluable that somebody comes down from Samadhi and can say anything about it and talk about Kundalini and all of these things. So he's really the test of everything. Yeah, otherwise it's theoretical. Otherwise you have to accept it from scripture or just yukti. That, okay, it's logical. But that doesn't, you know, test is in the what is it? Test the pudding is in the taste of it, something like that. Yeah. So we bring the tradition to life by bringing Sri Ramakrishna and the Holy Mother and Swamiji and all the direct disciples into it that way. So we shouldn't be afraid of it. But if we start out by saying you have to accept Sri Ramakrishna as an avatar, a divine incarnation, and offer worship to him and everything, there's no point in that. Yeah. Yes. These, my understanding is that most of the questions that we ask can be answered by this is a good attitude to take. Most of these questions, we have no way of knowing how things work. We somehow think that because we read in the scriptures this and that and everything, that we can give some very simple thing, no, it's this way, it's not that way. But we really don't know. But Thakur used to quote this song, Jaman Bhav Demni Lab. As is your attitude, so is your gain. If we feel that Thakur chose me, and that brings great joy to us, and we feel it's a wonderful thing, then great. If it makes us very proud and egotistical, then not so great. If we feel that we chose him, and we feel that, yes, I'll take this attitude of the servant and the hero, and I'll serve him in that way, then good. So we have to see how it helps us in our spiritual life. We can't really say one way or the other. Now, some of us will say, especially, I think, in monastic life, there's some feeling that that's where they say a calling. It is a calling. Some feeling that Swamiji chooses his own people, something like that. But again, this is a little sentimental feeling that we have. So I won't say that it's not possible that way. But everyone will have a different attitude and understanding.
What if we have Thakur Ma saying their incarnations? Where do we put Swamiji? We know the God realized soul, we say the Rishi. But where do we put Swamiji? We don't consider him an incarnation.
That's a very interesting question. We have, of course, again, everyone has their own way of understanding it. But I'll tell you two different stories. One, when Swamiji's father passed away, and there were all these rumors floating around that Swamiji was mixing with bad people and doing all of this. So one day, one devotee was in Thakur's room, and he was saying all these things about Naren. That Naren's going to the dogs, he's mixing with his Onodaguhu fellow and everything like that. So then Thakur was quiet. Then he left. So Thakur said to somebody, bring some water. He used to have a big pitcher of Ganges water. Bring some water and sprinkle it on this spot where he sat. And they said, why? And they said, don't you know Shiva himself was insulted here? So others will also say that Swamiji was Shiva himself. Of course, it's sentimental like that. And a very similar thing, Swami Akandananda was asked one time, somebody said, what great sadhus have you met? And he said something about Trailokya Swami in Benares, who's considered very great, great Swami. So somebody said, what about Swamiji? He said, oh, Swamiji. Swamiji was Shiva himself. That way. So, how do we understand it? I think that when Thakur said that this is one of the seven sages, that's way too low. It's way too low for Swami. That Swamiji was really part and parcel of Sri Krishna himself. Did we say Thakur was the sutra, Swami was the bhashya? He was the commentary. Thakur led the life, and he was the commentary on that. He and Swami Brahmananda, those two, so we'll have Thakur Ma, then Swamiji, then maybe Swami Brahmananda. They'll kill me in Southern California for saying that, but anyhow. And then the other direct disciples, if we want to make a hierarchy. Well, this is just, yeah. But yeah, Swamiji, of course, occupies a very special place. Holy Mother, you know, said one time, if you worship Thakur without Swamiji there, the worship will be in vain. That way, yeah. So we hold Swamiji in equally high esteem that way, yeah. But, so I was saying when Thakur... It's a little bit off the subject, but this is my own private theory I'm sharing with everybody, that when Swamiji went, Narendra went to Sri Ramakrishna in Dakshineswar the first time, and Thakur took him out to the northern veranda, and he touched him. First, he you know, with folded hands, he addressed him as Nararupi Narayana. We say that he addressed him as, oh, great sage Nara. It wasn't. Nararupi Narayana. That means God come in human form. Now, I have this theory that when Sri Ramakrishna worshipped Holy Mother Shodashi, that he did it to awaken this feeling of divine motherhood in her. So, and when he touched Swamiji and addressed him that way, that he awakened this idea of universal manhood in him. And that we wonder, what was Swamiji's spiritual ideal, Ishta Devata? Huh? To me, this is Thakur initiating him that your Ishta Devata is Nara, is human beings. Because Swamiji's whole life, what is the greatest worship of God's service to mankind? And, oh, the one other thing, I'm glad you mentioned that, I wanted to say that Sri Ramakrishna, we know, did all sorts of types of sadhana and everything, but basically he worshipped the Divine Mother. We generally don't make much of a distinction between whether you worship Mother Durga or the Kali or something, or Krishna or Rama. But if we think about it, one is some Puranic ideal of God manifest in some heavenly realm, something like that. And the other is coming to earth. So Sri Ramakrishna generally worshipped, if we take that as his main spiritual attitude, the Divine Mother. And we, as devotees of Sri Ramakrishna, we also talk about Mother and everything like that, but we're worshipping a divine incarnation, the avatar, a little bit differently. Now, Sri Ramakrishna had an experience which I think was a very, very important turning point in his life when he broke his arm. We know that he was walking along the bank of the river. There's a railing there, the Ganga, and he went into some spiritual mood. He had some vision of Jagannath Puri. And there's some tradition that you go and embrace the image there, something like that. And he fell down and he broke his arm. And then afterwards he said that it was as if the Divine Mother were telling me that don't see God in vision anymore, in bhava. See God dwelling within human beings. So he said from that time onward, my mind went towards this idea of Nara Leela. And then this Vaishnav Charan. He liked this Vaishnav Charan very much, even though he was involved in some shady things a little bit with this tantric traditions and things. But he said that Vaishnav Charan used to say to me that this Nara Leela, worship of God and man, is the highest type of worship. He said, I never believed it before. Now I see that he was right. So he gave him credit for that. Now, the Nara Leela means two things. One, for Sri Ramakrishna, it meant that see God dwelling within all beings. But it also means for us, see God dwelling in human form as the avatar. So we try to do both. We also try to see God dwelling in all beings, but the seeing God having come in human form, again, whether we accept this avatirna idea, does God really come from heaven and come down? We don't have to bother with all of that. But having the human form of the divine has so many advantages for us. And I actually have a couple of very beautiful quotes that I wanted to read from Swamiji himself. One from Thakur also. Okay, Swamiji says, I try to get an idea of God in my mind, and I find what a false little thing I conceive. It would be a sin to worship that God. We are limited by our own mind, right? What is our concept of God? Whatever we think we are, only bigger. We're jealous people, God is a jealous person. Right? Like that. So, I open my eyes and look at the actual life of these great ones on the earth. They are higher than any conception of God that I could ever form. For what conception of mercy could a man like me form who would go after a man if he steals anything from me and send him to jail? And what can be my highest idea of forgiveness? Nothing beyond myself. What idea of divine love can we form except what we actually live? What we have never experienced, we can form no idea of. So all my best attempts at forming an idea of God would fail in every case. And here, these great teachers are plain facts, not idealism. Actual facts of love, of mercy, of purity, of which I can have no conception even. What wonder that I should fall at the feet of these men and women and worship them as God. So this is, it's really a very, very profound idea that when we conceive of God, we're limited by our own understanding of what does compassion mean to us. We say God is the most compassionate being of all. Our idea of compassion is mixed with selfishness and all, smallness and all of that. We can't even conceive of it. And before our very eyes, we see people who were the manifestation of a type of compassion that we can't even imagine. So why won't we take that as our spiritual ideal? The other very nice thing, especially this last explanation that I gave, is that even the jnani, even the Advaitin, can accept this idea of the avatar. Otherwise, Ramakrishna says the avatar is not for the jnani. You won't find it in this. Of course, it's in Shankaracharya. He had no choice because of Gita and everything. But in Upanishads, you don't find maybe just the very seed form of something, but no idea even of personal God. You don't have that in the Upanishads. So even those who are staunch Advaitins, who think God dwells equally within all beings, they can take Ramakrishna's their ideal. Yes, God dwells equally in all beings, but the manifestation is greater in these great souls. And they represent an ideal which we can follow. So I like it. Otherwise, really, a lot of it is just, imagine we're trying to conceive, and we know our conception is false. We know our conception is very subjective. Even we say God is mother, we know God is not a female or male or anything like that. Here, we don't have to do, we just, right before our very eyes, just 2 days ago, they lived. It was a wonderful thing. Okay, let me stop and turn everything over to Swamiji to complete this very wonderful 2 day retreat, which feels like it went too fast. But I am very grateful that so many people came and so patient, even now at nap time, everybody is here. That I enjoyed it thoroughly. I hope all of you did also. Okay, Amaraj, come.
Oh, yes. All are most welcome. Yes. Welcome, most welcome.
And we will have place to stay?
At the nearby Plaza Hotel, we have place to stay. Yes. Thank you, Maharaj, for coming to this. So we are all now in the concluding session. So Maharaj has asked me to speak a few words as a concluding part of this wise, wonderful retreat. From yesterday morning, I have been attending, and in the beginning, I told you that I felt indeed blessed to be in this company of devotees and the monks. So that same thing that I am repeating, that today, begin the closing session, I feel blessed because I could hear many people coming out talking, and the Swami's very learned expositions on certain points to clarify our mind that has helped us a lot. Yes, just now, Swami has been telling about this, whether Ramakrishna to be adored as an avatar or can he be taken as an ideal. So, in different viewpoints he put it. And one incident, it just struck me now that I wanted to share with you. And that is, when Sri Ramakrishna has passed away, and slowly, slowly, 1-2 centers have started coming up, and Swamiji's initiative was there for getting the Chennai center to start, and Mayavati center has started, Banaras has started. Like that, 4-5 centers have come up at that time. So one day, when Holy Mother was seated in her home, so one devotee came. You know, devotees are all very good, but there are devotees who create confusion also. And I hope that none of that type, you don't have any, yes. So that devotee wanted to create some confusion and wanted to see the drama. So what she did, she went to Holy Mother and told her, "You see, Ma, I went to that particular center and the Swami did not treat her well, it seems. Well, perhaps he did not ask her to take prasad on that day, something like that." So this lady was upset. So she told, "Ma, I went to that center and I found to my great surprise, something very great surprising thing has happened there." Ma said, "What was that? What is the surprise? It should not have happened, but it has happened." Increasing the curiosity of the mother. So the mother is telling, "Is it so? So great surprise, what was that?" Then the lady says, "You know, in the altar, Guru Maharaj's photo was there, and your photo also is kept. But there is another step is there. They should have kept Swamiji's photo there. Instead of that, equivalent to Guru Maharaj, in the same step, they have kept Swamiji's photo. That was very bad." No, he's telling to Holy Mother. Holy Mother, "Is it so? Oh, they have done a mistake." Mother is telling, and the ladies is getting happiness. Oh, now I have put that fire, and now it's going to burn now. That Swami is going to be called, and then he is being taken to task by Holy Mother. So she was very happy. She said, "Yes, Ma, the same pedestal, Thakur and your photo, and Swamiji's photo also," he said. Said, "Oh, that is really, really wrong thing that Swami has done. Okay, I will call him and tell him. But my dear, you know, if Ramakrishna was there today, he would have kept Swamiji's photo on his head." So that lady was silenced after that. So you find here in Ramakrishna tradition, the three are not different from each other. Somehow they are coalesced into one unit where Ramakrishna, Mother and Swamiji, they are in one unit circulating like that. So if anybody asks what is the position of Swamiji, it's very difficult to say. How do you take him out from that group? It's very difficult. As he said, when Naren came first to him, Naren was a 16-year-old boy. Nobody knows about him. And he says, "Nararupi Narayan has come to him." And he's folding his hands. He would have even fallen at his feet. And the boy got struck. "What this man is telling? He's telling me Narayan. He's definitely a madcap. That is what he said. So, and then you see how Sri Ramakrishna had kept Naren, how mother had reverence for Naren. And each one had the same reverence to each other. As Swamiji says, and this quotation that he read now, that is there anybody who can practical in his life with such high ideals? And that's why, and they are equal to God. He says, I do not know what God is, but they can be, these sages can be considered as God, he says, because of their practicality. And you find that how Swamiji was taken to such a high level by Sri Ramakrishna. Our Brahma Samaj people have come. In a few minutes, Keshav Chandra Chan was to enter. All the Brahma Samaj devotees are sitting, and Thakur is sitting in his choto cart, you know, that small khatiya, and he is talking. And he is looking at everyone, and our Brahma Samaj leader is to come, and he enters. Then everybody gets up and gives him due respect. Thakur also, hai, esho, esho, bosho. So he also sat. Now Thakur is talking to him, and talking to the Brahma Samaj devotees about Brahma Samaj leader, Keshav Chan. He's telling, you see, God's powers manifest in humans. It can be measured. How it can be measured? In those days, you know, our 16 is one of the measurement. Nowadays we say 100%, that was equivalent to 16. So we say 16 anas. Why 16 anas? 1 rupee consists of 16 anas. So 1 rupee is considered as a full. So the full is put as a 16 parts. So even Lord Sri Krishna's, see, they say 2 parts of that 16 parts is 1%. He becomes very great in this society. Sri Ramakrishna is talking to the devotees and is telling, if there are 4 parts manifested out of 16 parts in somebody, that person will rule over the world. And you know, our Keshav Chandra Sen, he has got 5 parts. How great he is. No, rural of the world he has told. And then now he is telling, Keshav Chandra Sen has got more than the 4 parts. Everybody was very happy. Very big, and naturally their leader is being praised, and Ramakrishna's mouth, from that they are getting the words as a certificate, as if. So Brahma Samaj devotees are very happy. And so Sri Ramakrishna looking like that, in the corner he found Naren sitting. And in that meeting, at that time, Sri Ramakrishna looked at Naren. The moment he looked at Naren, his mood changed. You know, he was always happy to see Naren. And whatever be the condition, when Naren comes, he is a different person. And Naren is sitting there. Then he started, now you see, I have seen 2 petal roses, 5 petal roses, and here is Keshav Chandra Sen with 15 petal lotus. But that Naren, he is 1,000 petal lotus. Even at that stage when Naren has become nobody, he was a nobody actually, he hasn't become anybody. And that stage, Ramakrishna is telling, he is 1,000 petal lotus. And Naren comes out and rebukes his master. Master, what are you talking? Why are you talking like a madman? I am not even known to anybody, and he is a great leader in the society, and you are comparing like this? What a foolishness, he says. Then master says, Did I say that you are rebuking me? It was Mother Kali who showed me. And today we all know. The history says, where Naren stands, where Keshav Sen stands. You see, we are not putting him down. What I am telling you is, that the manifestation of the divinity that came up in Swamiji was so wonderful. So, we all have been very nice to see every one of you here. And I don't know what to say in conclusion. I'm just wondering what to say. But it was very good experience for me to see so many devotees attending this retreat. And finally, before parting, I think, as Maharaj says, if anyone wants to ask anything, because Maharaj has given one nice warning. All these putting questions, etc., are all superficial. How long you are going to discuss? How long you are going to think about certain philosophical points? Where do they take you actually? But if you have been loving your God, if you have been doing your devotional practices, because you have got that wonderful, that Ratana, Rama Ratana Payo, you know that Mira's song, Rama Ratana Payo you have got in the form of a mantra from your guru, then should you not protect that Ratana in your heart and then do the japa and meditation and reading of Master Mother and Swamiji and think about them. Maximum time our mind should be occupied with these thoughts of this holy trio, as we call them. And these holy trio's thoughts will engulf in our mind and will be always staying in our mind. And that way we can improve spiritually very fast. Yes, for academically, if you want to know something, yes, we are ready to discuss and we can help you also. But other than that, as a devotee, when you come here, don't ask for all such questions unnecessarily. Rather, come here, stay for 10 minutes also in the temple and think about him. He manifests. Once I was a brahmachari in Belur Math, I was in the training center of the brahmacharis. And in training center, brahmachari time, in training center we discussed many things philosophically. And one such topic came, and that topic put me into utter disbelief. And I was simply, I was a depressed boy. What happened was, in the topic that came, what was the topic? That earlier avatars, do they hold any influence once the next avatar comes? This was the topic. And each brahmachari is telling one idea. So several views have come up. And finally, the ideas came. One brahmachari said, next avatar comes, the previous avatar is out. He doesn't have any influence. And he quoted Sri Ramakrishna's, you know that coin, that when the Britishers were there, when Muslims were Mughalized, rule was going on, that coin issued by the Mughals are no more valid in British time. That is what Sri Ramakrishna said. And it is true also, what Britishers issued the coins, they are not now valid in India. India has got its own coins. So the coins change. Likewise, avatars change. So there are no validity. And one brahmachari was very forcefully telling that point. And then I was thinking, hey, if Sri Ramakrishna is not valid, and another person is telling, Sri Ramakrishna is not like the avatar purushas, like Rama and Krishna. They are Treta Yuga and Dwapar Yuga, but then they had extraordinary powers, which in Ramakrishna we don't find. So Ramakrishna is at the most a great man, a great saint, you can say. Like that is telling. So that all confusing ideas floating around, I thought I made a mistake by joining the Ramakrishna. Why the mistake? The mistake is, in thinking Sri Ramakrishna is an avatar and thinking Sri Ramakrishna still lives on, even though his body is gone, and I left my home and hearth and wanted to become a monk, and now I find, he is nobody. Then why should I come? Why should I stay here? This thought, you know, now you may laugh at it, but at that moment it was my life and death question, whether to stay or to leave and go away. And I wanted to ask this question: does Ramakrishna live on? This was the question troubling my mind. I didn't know whom to ask. And 3 days I could not eat properly, I could not sleep properly, I could not pay attention to the classes. 4th day I went to Ganges and had my bath and looked up. There my Gurudev is standing. Srimad Swami Nirvananandji standing there. Then I saw him going into the room. Then I thought, why not go and ask my guru? my guru is available here. Why don't I ask him and resolve my problem? So I went up. Generally, at that time, we are not allowed to meet him. But I went up because I am his disciple. I went up and then I bowed down to him. Sashtanga pranama I did. I didn't speak anything. He was sitting on the easy chair. And then slowly he kept his hand on my shoulder and trying to raise. So when that old Swami is trying to raise like that, I gave my shoulder as a support. And then I also slowly got up. And with his hand on my shoulder, he started walking. Tuck, 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 tuck. And he took me to that window. And the window is, not this step, it's a long window. Elongated and small size. In his room it is there. And he stood there. And he's looking at through the window and showing the window to me. He said, what do you see? I said, Maharaj, ki dekhcho kene? What do you see? I said, Maharaj, I see Thakur's shoyan ghorta dekhchi. Thakur's sleeping room I am seeing. I said, do you know every day 4 o'clock our Mangal Arati starts? I come here and stand. আমাকে বাংলাতে বলেছিলেন আমি এখানে এসে 4টার সময় মঙ্গল আরতির সময় এসে দাঁড়িয়ে থাকি। কি দেখিস? কি দেখি আমি জানিস তুমি? এখানে দেখি ঠাকুর তার শয়ন ঘরের যে খাটিয়া থেকে উঠে সিঁড়িতে নেমে আসেন, নেমে এসে নিচে যে তার বিগ্রহ আছে তার মধ্যে উনি মিলে যান। হি সেড, আই স্ট্যান্ড হিয়ার and look at through this window, I see Thakur gets up from his bed and comes down through the stairs and merges in that statue that is kept down. Without asking my question, he resolved the issue. See, Thakur is still there and he sees every day. So that gave me great confidence, you know, and said, yes, what a wonderful experiences, you know, that I said, no, now there is no more doubt, that's all. Once for all, he resolved that issue. So, that we come to Thakur to get not merely solace, not merely peace of mind, because our ultimate aim is his powers are nothing but all the collective powers of the whole universe. You know, in the Narayana Suktam says very beautifully that where is Narayana? The question comes up. Narayana is in Vaikuntha. If you are a Puranic man, you'll say Narayana is in Vaikuntha. Where is Lord Shiva? Shiva is in Kailash. Like that we all say that. But it is not so. Upanishad Rishis did not believe like that. This is a Puranic aspect. In Puranas we speak like that. But in Upanishads, what they say? They say, Yaccha kinchit jagat sarvam drishyate sruyate piva. Yaccha kinchit, but whatever. Whatever sruyate and drishyate. Drishyate means seen, known world. And sruyate means unseen world, but heard. Somebody says, there is a Goloka. I have not seen it, but I have heard it. So this is heard. Yaccha kinchit jagat sarvam drishyate shruyate piva. Then the second line comes, Maharaj. Before that. Jagat sarvam drishyate shruyate piva. Then. Yes, Vyapya Narayana Sthitaha. This entire universe has been permeated by Narayana and he stays in the universe. That is the ideal that we are seeing in Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna is the embodiment of this entire universe. And that aspect, and because we are part of him, so I belong to him. So when we come to the temple, we must think that we belong to him. And he is our ideal. And one day I am going to merge with him. That's why in Bengalis, I've got a beautiful way of expressing the old devotees passing away. You know, when their father passed away, mother passed away, or grandfather passed away, they give a letter. In that letter, they write, "My grandfather, on such and such a day, has passed away to Sri Ramakrishna Loka." They write. You imagine, if there is a Goloka for the Krishna devotees, if there is a Kailash for Shiva devotees, why not we have a Ramakrishna Loka? So they bring that idea, you see. So our ultimate aim here is to come and merge with Sri Ramakrishna. Be with him and enjoy the holy company of his. So in that view, I think that our devotees are greatly benefited and they are blessed indeed to come to it. And another factor, I think that Ramakrishna's way of practice of religion is the most easiest. You are not bound by any vratas. That is this vrata, that vrata. Hundreds of vratas are there we have got. You know, vrata means penance. You don't have that. And you don't need to have, you have to read this one, that one immediately, and 10 times you have to read like that. We don't say that. So Ramakrishna's devotion is very, very simple. You come and accept him as your own, enough. And for little more getting bhakti in your mind, you can read the gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. That's all. If you want to know more about this Sanatana Dharma, then you can go into reading of Swamiji's complete works. That's enough. And read the direct disciples' lives. We have kept all the direct 16 disciples' photos we have got here. But read their life. Each life will tell you that how much faith and belief they had in Sri Ramakrishna's divinity and how Sri Ramakrishna protected them even though his body passed away. So is it possible to understand the glory of the avatar? A question was raised to Sri Ramakrishna. He said, no, it is not possible. But there is a way to understand the glory. How do you understand the glory? Then he gave a beautiful example. He said, there is a very big screen before me. And beyond the screen, what is happening, I cannot see. So many things are happening. Lot of funny things are happening. Fun is going on. But I cannot see and enjoy anything. I am this side of the screen. He said, a simple way to enjoy those things is, either you have to go to the other side, which is not possible for us because we are this side. Say, how do you do? He said, put a small hole in the screen. And through the hole, you can see the glory there. And Sri Ramakrishna says, that hole in that infinite mass is avatar. So avatar is the small hole through whom we can see and enjoy the glory of the infinity. So avatar is finity. You know, it's finite. It has got a body, mind. It speaks, runs, sits, etc. But infinity you cannot understand. But the avatar becomes a point, a focal point, through whom we can at least try to gauge what is the glory of the infinity. So with these few words, I am thankful to everyone for sitting quietly. And is there any other question? If you have a few more questions, we can read another for 5 minutes. Yes. Yes.
You mentioned that you visualize Prabhu sitting in the rock.
Mm.
Now, you said he comes into you, enters into your heart, and upsets you.
Mm.
I am having difficulty visualizing him.
Mm. You see, when you close your eyes, do you get the picture of Sri Ramakrishna? You get? That means Sri Ramakrishna has already entered into your heart. Yes, so that he has already entered your heart. What I told was, many people are unable to visualize Sri Ramakrishna. For them, you have to think in a light body, in a effulgent body, he is coming from outside and entering into your heart. Like that you have to think. But already if he has come into your heart, don't worry about that step. Start from that your step. Anyone else? Because Maharaj is looking at the watch again and again. Yes, yes. Antarvaisyata. Correct, correct. I also got it. No. Thank you, Maharaj.
Again, that moment has come. Experiencing great joy after such a wonderful two-day retreat, and also a little bit of tinge of sadness because it is now over. It's not continuing. If my memory and arithmetic are correct, this is 31st year that we are doing this retreat, started in 1988 as a one-time event, Memorial Day retreat in New Windsor Retreat Center. At that time, we did not know or could visualize that we will still be doing this so many years later in this grand new facility. Some of those people who were there, who were instrumental in organizing that retreat, or by the grace of Sri Ramakrishna, are still here, and some have moved on. As Swamiji mentioned, this is the first time we are doing the retreat here. Earlier, for many years, we did this retreat in the New Windsor Retreat Center. Last 2 years, we did in the Pearlstone Retreat Center. But now, this is the first time we are doing it here, and we have record attendance this year. Record attendance. This retreat is very special, because we have a very special Swami this year. Swami Vibhokshanandaji Maharaj, who has just recently taken over the Dublin Center in Ireland. Many things he mentioned made a deep impression on me. Two things struck a personal chord. Swamiji said before joining the order, he used to go to Chennai Center, and once Swamiji used to give him sweet prasad, and he felt very good. Same thing happened to me. As a lay devotee, I used to go to Bhuvaneshwar Center. Of course, I was much older at that time. And one Swami, I did not know anything about Sri Ramakrishna tradition. I didn't know who Holy Mother was, and who didn't know who Swamiji was, and who knew. And that Swami showed me a great kindness. He would take me to his room upstairs. In a glass bottle, he used to have that special prasad, that small goli, you know, that ball made of jaggery and coconut, that he would give it to me specially and talk to me nicely, explain to me all these things. And he really encouraged me to go to Beljurumath. And at that time, Swami Vireshwaranji Maharaj was the president, asked him for initiation. So the story continued. That was one thing that happened, that I remembered when Swamiji mentioned that. Second thing, this morning told the story of Shravana Kumara. You know, that young man, Dasharatha, by mistake killed him, and the young man was taking care of his parents, blind parents. The story I heard from my primary school teacher 80 years ago, and it is still so vivid in my mind. And Swamiji mentioned the story. It came to me with great renewed force. That story always moves me very much. Swamiji mentioned the story this morning. And he also very nicely explained yesterday the 5 tools to love him. We do the arati with only deepa every evening, but with 5 items on special occasions. The significance of those 5 items, Swamiji explained very nicely. And we also enjoyed the panel discussion yesterday with Professor Jeffrey Long, Dr. Mova Bhattacharya, and our own Liz, our Yoga Didi. It was a very nice discussion led by Swamiji. Numerous volunteers have helped to make this a very wonderful retreat. All those people who helped in the preparation of food. The chief cook was somebody else, but a lot of people helped in the preparation and serving of the food and clearing this place, etc. One thing I want to mention, which Swami C also mentioned this morning. I'm quoting what Swamiji said. Swami C said exactly this morning. He said, "There's a great deal of love here. You have come to the best place to realize God." That is absolutely true. This place is always open. From 5 a.m. until 9 p.m. or even longer, 7 days a week, we don't need any appointment. Two doors are open. You can come from that door entrance or this entrance. This is your place. Please come. We have class every day except Saturday. Saturday is Karma Yoga. Every day of the week, we have some class, some activities, some Sunday service going on. This is your place. Please come and participate and benefit from the center. This is unquestionably the most beautiful Ramakrishna temple in the whole Western world. Many of you have come from long distances, from Florida, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, Virginia, and South Africa. So Swamiji is... Maharaj is going to Dublin. Next time when he comes, devotees from Dublin also will be coming. And South African devotees will be coming also. And we are very, very thankful to Maharaj for taking time to come and conduct this retreat. Swamiji has recently taken over as head of the Dublin Center. You know how difficult it is to start a new center with no resources, actually negative resources. And I'm pretty sure that with his loving guidance and energy and vast and varied experience, the Dublin Ireland Center will flourish and become one of the biggest centers in the Western world. We are very thankful to Maharaj, and we wish him success, and we hope and pray that Sri Ramakrishna will bring him back again for another retreat as soon as possible. Now, I thank all of you for helping us in many ways. There will be aarti as usual at 6:30. And meditation, and after meditation there will be a satsang, informal satsang with Maharaj, and there will be dinner. All of you please stay. And before that, right now, there will be group photo. We want all of you to be present here. Don't leave. All of you be present here. There will be, as usual, as every year we do every year, there will be a group photo. And I thank you all, and I have safe return if you, wherever you have come from. Go back to your own places and please keep coming back to us. Thank you very much. Group photo now. I'll say the closing prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om. May all be happy. May all be free from afflictions. May all realize what is noble and auspicious. May no one be subject to misery. Om peace. May there be peace in our hearts. Adhyatmika Shanti. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings, Adi Bhautika Shanti. May there be peace everywhere in nature, Adi Daivika Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu. Photo.